Play-Doh, Guidability, and the Will of God. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, August the 22nd, 2007.
For about the last 5 weeks or so, we have been discussing the will of God. How do I know the will of God? How can I be certain that I'm in God's will? How can I know for sure that this is the way God is leading me, that this is the kind of thing that the Lord wants me to do, that this is how I can accomplish His will in my life? How can I be certain that I'm following the leadership of God? How do I keep from missing His will? Those are all valid concerns. Those are the kind of things that we ought to be concerned with. It ought to be the kind of thing that we're giving thought to, because we want to be in the center of His will. We want to walk in obedience to Him. We know that that is His will for us. But I think most of the time we have our focus in the wrong place. Too often we are focused on the decision rather than on God Himself. And that's a problem. Knowing the will of God, we too often think, is a matter of knowing what we ought to do. And that's not primarily what the will of God is about. The will of God is not primarily about me understanding what it is I'm supposed to do or which decision I'm supposed to make. Primarily, it is about knowing God better. Primarily, it's knowing about how I am to walk in relationship with Him. Too often our focus is in the wrong place. It's about growing in Christ-likeness. It's about understanding how I am to be shaped and molded into the image of the Lord Jesus. And when that happens, all those other things will fit into their proper place. All of those other things will be what they're supposed to be, provided I get the first order together. God is far more interested in who you are than in what you do. Say it again. God is more interested in who you are than what you do, because what you do flows out of who you are. And when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, that's exactly where Jesus starts. Those Beatitudes are about character traits. It's about what kind of person are you going to be. And that is addressed before He ever talks about how you then live. It's only after He's talked about the need for meekness and a desire to seek God's kingdom first and all those kinds of things. It's after that then that He starts addressing how we ought to behave. He's more interested in who we are, because who we are determines what we do. The other thing I want to stress is that He is far more interested in your discovering His will than you are in discovering His will. God doesn't play games with us. He isn't trying to hide His will for us. He wants us to know. And because He's interested in your discovering His will for your life, He has taken upon Himself as His personal responsibility to guide you into His will. He takes it as a personal responsibility to lead you and guide you in discovering His will. Let me give you another principle about discovering the will of God. The secret is in your being moldable. The secret is in your being open and accepting and receptive to what the Lord wants to do in your life. Central to your ability to discern the will of God is your ability to be directed. The more pliable you are, the easier it will be for you to discern His will. Now, how long has it been since you played with Play-Doh? Some of you, it may have been a while. But you still remember what it was like. You remember you get that little yellow can, you take that lid off, and when you take it off and open a fresh can, what is that Play-Doh like? Very soft, very pliable. You can do all kinds of things with it. With a little bit of imagination, you can entertain yourself for hours. You can make all kinds of things. You make it into a ball. You can make it into an animal. Depending on how fertile your imagination is, you can make it into some amazing things. But what happens if you leave the lid off for 3 or 4 days? Then when you pull it out, it's got a crust on it. It's hard, and you try to roll it. You try to do anything with it. It just crumbles and falls apart. Too many of us have become hardened, crusted over time, and we are not moldable. We're not pliable in the hand of God, and therefore we don't hear His voice. We don't see His hand. We don't experience His leadership in discovering His will. It's not that He doesn't speak. It's that we've lost our ability to hear Him speak. It's not that He doesn't lead. We don't want to be led. Because too many of us become secure in our own ways, set in our own understanding, and whether we would ever voice it or not, we become convinced that we know better than anyone else what is best for us. Instead, we must be open and receptive to His leadership, willing to follow His lead, so that we become like young Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3:10, he heard the voice of God and he said, "Lord, speak, for your servant hears." You remember that child was open and receptive to the speaking of God when the high priest didn't even hear God speak. Because he was pliable, he was moldable, he was guidable, therefore he heard. Or David, we might cry out along with David, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Or Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." The secret to our discovering the will of God is our willingness to be led, our willingness to be directed, our willingness to be redirected. So that Ray Pritchard puts it in his book, "Guidable people always receive guidance from the Lord." Guidable people always receive guidance. What does that mean? It means when you're open, when you are receptive, when you are listening, when you are anticipating God speaking and God's leadership, you're likely going to find it. But if you're not open and you're not receptive and you're not looking and you're not listening, there's a pretty good likelihood you're not going to hear Him and you're not going to follow Him. This evening I want to wrap up our study of discerning and knowing the will of God. And I'm sure some of you are wondering, okay, I've stayed with you through all of this, and this is now the sixth message in that series. When are you going to give us the formula? Well, I can't, because there isn't one. Because God is a person, and God deals with us as people, and we are in personal relationship with Him. So there isn't a formula to it. I can't give you, here are the three steps. If you plug them in, you will always know the will of God. I can't give you something that if you shake this and then you roll it, it'll always be true and accurate and you'll always know the will of God. There isn't a formula, because the will of God is not a destination. The will of God is a journey. We got to quit thinking in terms of, I want to know what it is, and start asking and start realizing the issue is, I want to know who He is. And in the process, He's going to lead me and guide me to where I need to be. Now, we've also talked about the fact that God isn't normally going to show you the future. It's not what He's about. And it's a good thing He doesn't, because most of us wouldn't like it if He did. Most of us wouldn't believe it if we saw it. If He chooses to reveal the future to you, that is a wonderful gift of His grace. But He most likely will not open the future for you. Instead, He wants to teach you to trust Him and take each day, a day at a time, and walk in obedience to what you know to be true today, step at a time, day at a time. I want us to look at a passage of Scripture tonight. It's found in Acts chapter 16. It's a small passage of Scripture. Acts 16, beginning at verse 6, reading down through verse 10. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So there it is. wrapping it all up, I've given you how you know the will of God. Now, that's cleared up all your questions, I'm sure. I'm sure that that passage of Scripture has made it crystal clear to you how you know the will of God. Well, I think there are four insights about how the Lord leads us. This is as close as I'm going to get to giving you some kind of formula, because, I don't think there is one. But I think we need to be open and receptive and see the way God tends to work and the way that God tends to lead. The first thing is God's guidance comes through obedience in the ordinary. God's guidance comes through obedience in the ordinary. Look at verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Here is just a simple statement of fact, a historical fact about what happened on their missionary journey. And they have been called of God to share the gospel. The heart and passion of the Apostle Paul was that he would preach the gospel of Christ anywhere, anytime, given the opportunity. He knew the will of God was for him to speak the gospel, to tell the story of Jesus, to tell the story of salvation, to call lost people to faith in Christ. That was the passion of his life. That's what drove him. That's what motivated him. And that's why he was willing to suffer all the hardships that he suffered, because he was driven by one single passion. It was the will of God for him to preach the gospel. There was no question about that in his mind. In discerning the will of God, Paul did not have to ask, should I preach the gospel? The only question he struggled with was, where do I preach the gospel? He'd already determined in his own mind and heart, I will do it anywhere I'm given the opportunity. And what we discover in this section is that God leads us through the ordinary events of life. And obedience in the small and the ordinary thing. He was determined to preach the gospel. The question is, where? Now that brings us to a very important issue, and you might want to write this down. It's so profound. Especially when it comes to the will of God, and how do I know it? You need to understand that 99% of life is ordinary. 99% of life is ordinary stuff. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, your alarm went off sometime this morning and you got up. Or you may be one of those folks that you don't need an alarm. You have an internal alarm and you get up at the same time. But whatever way it was, a alarm clock or your internal clock, something woke you up, you got up this morning. And when you did, you went about a routine the same as you do every day, and you went about that routine, and whether that was to have coffee or breakfast and get things ready, then you got dressed, you got care, take care of kids, get them off to school, whatever it is you need to do, then you go to work, you do your thing at work, and it's pretty much the same thing you deal with every day, and you get all that done. At the end of the day, you come home, you try to rest a little bit, you have some dinner, you try to relax, you watch some TV, you do whatever you need to with the kids, or ball game or whatever, school meetings, you take care of that, and then you go to bed, and then you get up the next day and you do the whole thing over again. And that's just the way life is. And 99% of our lives is just like that. I'm telling you that because too often we want to say, now in the middle of this ordinary stuff, I want a clap of thunder and I want some dramatic voice to tell me, this is what I want you to do. Well, the truth of the matter is, the day in and day out, God leads us through the ordinary events of life. And we see that in what's happening here. Paul knew he was called to preach the gospel, and he, in his going about the business of preaching the gospel, went where he thought he ought to go, but a door's closed. Can't go that way. Okay, I'm going to go this way. He makes his second choice. He heads that direction. He's prevented by the Spirit of Jesus going that direction. He keeps turning, but he keeps moving. Now, the important thing is, he didn't wait upon the Lord in the sense of, he didn't just sit there until God spoke to him audibly and said, this is where I want you to go. He was busy waiting on the Lord in the sense that a waiter at a restaurant waits on a table. I'm not doing nothing. I'm doing what I need to do and what I know to do, and when further instructions given me, I take care of that. What I'm saying is, Your doing the will of God begins like that. It's about you being obedient in the ordinary routine of life, doing what you know to do until God makes it clear you need to do something else. My point is, too often we think of the will of God as something out of the ordinary, instead of seeing that it's right there in the ordinary stuff of life. And our biggest problem with the will of God is not in knowing what the Lord wants us to do. Our biggest problem is in doing what we already know He wants us to do. I mean, you look at your life and there are an awful lot of things that you already know is His will for your life. Most of the time when we say, Lord, make your will clear to me, what we're saying is, Lord, I need some kind of feeling. I need some kind of emotion. I need some kind of experience to convince me this is what I need to do. But I think He most often is saying, well, why don't you just do what I've already told you to do and we'll worry about the rest of that later. For instance, what is the will of God for a student? If you're a student, whether it's elementary or high school or college or extra training after college, continuing education, what is God's will if you're a student? It's His will that you do your best. You do your homework, you do your assignments, you do what you need to do, and you do it the best you can. Be about the business of doing that. What is the will of God for a doctor? Make his rounds. Treat people with dignity. Treat them with kindness. But excel at medicine. What if you're a manufacturer? You make a good product. You sell it for a fair price. That's the will of God. You don't have to wonder about that. What I'm saying is, it doesn't make any difference what area of life you serve in. It doesn't make any difference what your vocation. You already have plenty of direction about how you're to go about doing that. You're to be the best wife or the best husband or the best father you can possibly be. You'd be the best child you can be. In other words, you understand that in all of life, whatever your hands find to do, you do it with all your might to the glory of God. And that is His will. You don't need a clap of thunder. You don't need a hand writing on the wall. You don't need an audible voice to tell you that. God has made it clear in His Word that whatever you do, whatever you set your hand to do, you do it with all your might. And you do everything you do to the glory of God. It's in the obedience and the everyday and the ordinary that we begin to understand the will of God and His guidance for our life. That's the first thing. Second, God's guidance comes through sudden changing circumstances. What happened? He tried to go one direction and he was prevented. He tried to go another direction and we're told in the text that the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow him to go that way. Now, what does that mean? How were they prevented? I don't know. I don't have a clue as to how God prevented them. I just have the statement that they took it to be the will of God that they were prevented from doing that. Now, I don't know if the road washed out. I don't know if there were city officials standing at the gate saying, you're not welcome here and we're not going to let you in. I don't know if a prophet came to them and said, God's will is for you to go that way. I don't know how it happened. We're just told that circumstances changed and they perceived, they understood that to be the will of God. This is part of what it means to profess the sovereignty of God. If we say that our God is sovereign, if we say that the God is in control of all things, that He is Lord over all things, that He rules and reigns now, that He providentially works, then we have to believe that the circumstances of our lives are not accidents. And so we see the hand of God in that and giving us direction and guidance. Have you ever had a circumstance where you thought you had everything figured out about the will of God for your life? You knew where you were going, you knew how you were getting there, and then everything changed? Ever happened to you? Sure it has. Sometimes it happened because you had everything figured out and you just knew in your heart, this is really what I'm going to do, and then you got a phone call. And that phone call changed everything. Because sometimes that phone call was, we got the test results back. And when they gave you those results, you knew in that instant your whole life had changed. Now, sometimes it's because they said it is cancer and we're going to have to treat it aggressively. Sometimes it changed radically because that phone call said, no, you are pregnant. And life changes. But you don't understand. See, I was planning to do this, and now this is going to throw a wrench into that. Or maybe you had everything figured out and you were happy and you were growing and everything was going great and you're involved in the church and everything is going just great. And then they come around at work and start handing out envelopes and say, by the way, we're downsizing. And some of you, today's your last day. Is that something completely out of left field that God knew nothing about? Or is this part of the providential working of God and changing the circumstance of your life, and you see in that the Lord closing a door to move you in a different direction? See, God works in the common, the ordinary, and the everyday, but He also works in the sudden changing of our circumstance. If God is God, and if He is sovereign, and if He is in control of all things, and if He's providentially working, then we have to believe that God is at work in all things, so that we confess along with Solomon from Proverbs 16 and verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. In other words, you may have it all figured out, and God says, that isn't it. It's this direction. How do I know the will of God? Will I be obedient in the day-to-day operation of everything I know to do, the best I understand the Scripture, the best I understand God's call for me as an individual? I do what I need to do right now as I understand it. And second, I look for His providential leading by the circumstance in which I find myself. I say, Lord, what are You doing in this? Lord, how do I need to adjust according to this? Lord, what do I need to do now in light of what You're doing? Which brings me to the third thing. There are times when God may come and give guidance to you through supernatural events. See, I think God is still God. And therefore, God can do what He wants to do. And God may choose to do something miraculous and supernatural to give you guidance. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen a lot. But I think God could send a cloud your way and a clap of thunder, and He speaks to you in that. Because He's God, and He can do what He wants to do. I think God may speak to you audibly. I think there are times, if you're like me, the Lord may have to speak to me audibly at times because I'm so dense I don't get it otherwise. And it may literally take His tapping me on the shoulder and say, okay, I've been trying to get through to you. God can still move miraculously, supernaturally, to give guidance. May do that. He doesn't have to do that. He's not bound to do that. He's not obligated to do that. But I want to be very careful before I say God can't do that. He gives guidance to us through the common, the ordinary, the everyday, as we seek to live in obedience to what we know to do. He gives guidance to us as He changes the circumstance of our life to move us in different directions. He may do what He did here by giving Paul this vision of a man from Macedonia. All things made clear in that vision. He knew without a doubt where he was to go. It wasn't just, I need to move to the west. I know exactly where I need to go, to Macedonia. And that was a major shift in the gospel. That took the gospel from one continent to another. And it was no longer an Eastern religion. It became a world religion with that move. It was a powerful, important, significant step in the progress of the gospel. Now, I have to admit, I think that's part of why God spoke in a supernatural way, because it was a major shift in the movement of the gospel. So I think God's going to speak in those major events. I don't think He's going to speak to you in a dramatic, supernatural way because He says, you know, don't forget Fruit Loops when you're at the supermarket. It's My will for you to do that. That's why I'm weary of these people that say, I was shaving this morning and the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. Really? What'd He say? And it always has something to do with their own personal life. I think when God speaks in those dramatic ways, it's because there's something very important in the nature of the kingdom of God. And he's calling you to do something that's going to be extremely difficult. But I believe he still speaks. I believe that God may indeed speak in a dramatic fashion. Fourth, guidance comes through wise counsel joined with common sense. Interesting thing happens in this passage. Notice how the passage begins in verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia, Galatia, and they go all the way down through, then drop down to verse 10. And when Paul had the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us. He's joined by others. And there's another important thing in that 10th verse. Immediately, we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us. The word concluding, it means to discuss the matter with others. It means to debate the alternatives. It means to reach a consensus. Implied in the word is a strategic use of the mind. I'm going to try to go this way. Can't go. All right? I'm going to go this way. Can't go. All right? I'm going to go this way. Well, here's a vision. Having had all of that happen in the ordinary stuff of life, in the changing of circumstance, and in God giving him something supernatural, they came together and discussed it, and he sought the counsel of wise and godly people that he respected, and they came to the conclusion, this is the will of God. God speaks to us through others. God speaks to us through wise counsel as we join our minds and hearts with other believers, other followers of Christ. There is wisdom in the counsel of many. But having come to the point that they really believed that it was God that was leading them and specifically what God was calling them to do, I want you to note, what did they do with their knowledge? Immediately they sought to do it. A key to doing and understanding and discerning the will of God is that when God speaks, we obey. If we do not obey, then we have no right to expect him to speak. We have no right to expect him to keep revealing things to us if we have no intention of following through with what he tells us to do. Sometimes there is a famine of our hearing and knowing the will of God because of our disobedience and our unwillingness to do the very thing he revealed to us. So if God has been speaking to you and you continually say no, don't get upset when in another area you're saying, Lord, I really want to know what you want me to do. Because he's going to say, well, what about all these areas where I clearly told you what I wanted to do and you just ignored it? And now you come running to me because you're in a personal crisis and you want an answer for this particular thing and you're going to demand that I speak to you there when you won't listen to me over here. It's the obedience in the daily and the ordinary and the everyday that conditions our heart to be open and receptive to his will. Then we understand our circumstance as part of his leading and guiding. Then we understand those supernatural revelations that are given. But then I seek the counsel of others and I square it with Scripture, and I come to the conclusion, this is the will of God for me. Step by step, we follow his will. Here's as close as I'm going to get to a formula. Seven things I think you need to ask yourself when coming to discern the will of God. It's not a formula, but seven things you need to ask yourself. First, are you open and sensitive to the will of God? Can you honestly, sincerely say, I am open and receptive to God's will? I have an honest, sincere desire to know it. Second, have you studied the issue from every possible angle? Have you pondered it? Have you looked it over? Have you gone to the point that you said, okay, now, if I do this, what does that mean? What are the implications? All right, but what if I do this? What would that mean? How would that look? And you've considered it from every possible direction. You're open and sensitive to His will. You've considered the issue thoroughly. Three, have you sought wise counsel? Have you asked people that you trust, people that you respect, people that you believe are godly people? Have you sought their advice? Fourth, do the circumstances of your life seem to point in one particular direction? Sometimes you'll be dealing with an issue and you're trying to discern the will of God, and you start praying about it and you say, Lord, I want to know your will. I am open. I am receptive. And I've looked at all the issues. I've thought about this move and what it would mean as far as increase in pay, but what it would cost us in other ways. And I've asked for counsel from my parents and from other people that I trust. Then you look at the circumstance, and there are times when you're going to do that, you get to the point of looking at circumstances, and you scratch your head and say, gee, I never put it together, but that and that and that have all led me here. And had I still been over here, I never would have even considered this, and this would have never become an option for me. And I never saw those connected before until now. And I look at the circumstances of my life and I see God's working. I was enrolled at not yet enrolled, but I had my room assignment, had the date for me to go enroll at OSU. And then I felt God's call to ministry and I changed. And before August, I had enrolled at OBU, got my dorm assignment, moved there, went to the OBU for 4 years, met people there that I have great relationships with till this day. Several of those I went to seminary with, and after seminary, when I was trying to find a church, one of those guys that I met at OBU was pastoring in Perkins, Oklahoma, and he called me one day and said, could you possibly preach for me Sunday? I can't find anybody, which you love to hear. I can't find anybody. I'm scraping the bottom of this barrel and the muck of it, your name surfaced, and I wondered if there was any possibility. Jumping at any opportunity, I said, sure. So I drove from Fort Worth to Perkins, Oklahoma, just to preach one sermon. When I got there, there was a pulpit committee that he called the director of missions and said, I've got a guy from seminary coming if there's anybody looking for a pastor. Talked to the committee. That's where we ended up at Masham. After 2 years there, one of my good friends from college and seminary was leaving the church he was at in Ponca City, and he called me and said, I'd like to give them your name. All of those things worked to bringing me where I was, and I never would have put them together. The circumstance of your life, how are they pointing in a direction? Fifth, have you searched the Scripture to see what God says about this issue? There are going to be many occasions where you're not going to find this specific verse. God says, thou shalt not buy a Chrysler. And you're not going to find that there. But you'll find issues like stewardship. And you may say, you know, I love this car, but it's really not being a good steward of what the Lord has given to me. And you take into all the consideration of what the Scripture says on all those different issues. But you look. You search the Scripture. All of the Scriptures that might apply to the decision you're trying to make. Six, is there some supernatural guidance to consider? I mean, do you sense something in a way that doesn't fit any of these categories, but you really believe God is trying to speak to you through that? I'm saying you don't necessarily rule it out, but you don't just necessarily accept it at face value either. You consider that in light of all these other things. You're searching the Scripture. You're seeking counsel. You're looking at all of these things, and you're trying to discern that. Seven, are you willing to obey God regardless of the consequences? Can you say, Lord, I will obey you, and I don't care what it costs. And I don't care where it sends me. And I don't care what it does to me. I am determined to do your will. Now, here's what I'd say to you. If you could say yes to those seven questions, then I would say to you, then make the best decision you can and go do it. And believe it to be the will of God. I'm suggesting most of the time, that's the way it's going to be. I don't have any supernatural revelation. I don't have anything that says to me absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt, there is absolutely no question that this thing right here is what you are to do. I'm saying most of the time you're going to do all these things and then you're going to have to make the best decision you can with what you understand right now. And I'm saying to you, if you've honestly done those things, then you consider that the will of God and you go full steam ahead and do what you believe is right for you to do. So here's the big question. What if I miss it? What if I've done all of that? I mean, I sincerely have done it. And I get in it and it's a big mess. Well, first of all, just because it's a big mess doesn't mean it wasn't the will of God. Because sometimes He's going to throw you in the middle of a big mess to teach you something very important. Because you see, God's working in your life is not for your happiness. It's for your holiness. It is to teach you. It is to make you who He wants you to be. Now, I believe that everything that happens to us is for our good and His glory ultimately. So here's what I'm going to say. I believe if you're sincere in seeking the will of God, that you cannot miss it ultimately. It may seem to you you've missed it. But ultimately you cannot miss the will of God. If He is sovereign, if He is working in all things, He may bring you in the back door, but He will bring you where you were intended to be. That's the peace of knowing and serving our God. I don't know that I could live. I know that I could not live with peace if I really believed that it was all on my shoulders. That those decisions I have to make, either I get it right or I get it wrong, and there are terrible consequences to it. If I really believed that, I couldn't have a moment's peace. And I would take forever to make any decision because I don't want to get it wrong. But if I believe in a God who is powerful and loving and gracious and sovereign, I'm going to do my best to understand it. And I'm going to trust Him that if this isn't it, He's going to bring me where I need to be. That's the tension in which we are to live. Knowing the will of God is ultimately about knowing Him, not getting the decision right. And sometimes I come to know Him in more profound ways through hardship and failure than I ever would in victory and success. And if my goal is to know Him, then it really doesn't matter where I am. And it really doesn't matter what I end up doing as far as my job and my livelihood. What matters is that I'm growing my understanding of the nature, the character, the love, and the grace of God and my relationship to Him and who I am and how I'm to live in that relationship. So let's start looking at it from the proper perspective. Let's stop focusing on the decision and start focusing on the God who is and allow those decisions to take care of themselves. Not saying it's not important. I'm saying it's not the primary thing. And if we seek the will of God to know Him better, He will provide His guidance. And if we're open and receptive, we're going to find it. And we'll experience life in the comfort of His will. Take your prayer sheet.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.